Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our friend Turon Davenport to the program. Fueled by Parman Energy, visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. TD, Brian Daboll, Gus Bradley addressing the media earlier this week. An impressive ability to recall everyone's name from Brian Daboll there. I was very impressed by that. What stood out to you the most? Let's start on the Daboll front when it comes to just what he had to say at the press conference earlier this week and maybe some of your takeaways from that.
Yeah, I think it was a really good presser. The biggest takeaway, well, there's two. For me, it's, man, did this dude sound like he was a head coach? You know what I mean? Talking about meeting with the GM, talking about hiring his staff. He definitely spoke like a general, and you got to respect that. I think the other thing that really stood out to me was just some of the things dealing with Cam Ward, right? One of the things that he said was, he wanted to make sure that he saw the game through the eyes of the quarterback. He said that's what he pulled from the experience with Josh Allen, and that's what he wants to apply to this case. And then also, he said that he didn't – well, he didn't say it directly, but he didn't seem to be bothered by the mechanics, right? And we know that that's something that, you know, the previous staff wanted to tweak. He seemed to be okay with it.
Yeah, that is interesting. And it's like, you know, mechanics obviously are – I mean, it's everyone has their own specific stuff that works for them to be more accurate. But obviously, he needs to, you know, he needs to be more accurate, right? I guess, do you take it as maybe even Daboll's looking at it like maybe certain things that they do automatically, you know, improves that? I mean, I think everybody who watched Cam Ward would say there's some mechanical improvement that's needed, but almost like if you do things that are more comfortable for that player, that automatically is going to make things look better.
Yeah, I think that's really what the case is. And he kind of hinted at that when he said, like, everybody has different throwing motions and ways that they get in their drops. So to me, that's saying, like, hey, we're going to work with what you got going on. We'll tweak when necessary. But it seemed like, again, they were okay.
So, TD, I got to be honest with you. The more I watch David Bailey, the more I really want him to be a Tennessee Titan. That's just frankly the way. The guy, I love him. And I saw you breaking him down on Twitter earlier this week, or X, or whatever it's called now. What stands out to you the most about David Bailey in terms of just the prospect that he is, and what sort of a weapon is he going to be in the NFL, in your opinion?
You know, Robbie, what I really like is just he's got the full arsenal, right? And you watched that Ohio State game, and he was going against a tackle that's going to be in the first round as well. So you look at this, right? And, I mean, he showed you the bull rush. He showed you the outside speed. He showed you the counter move to the outside speed when he spun back inside. This dude is a complete package as far as the pass rushing situation is concerned. But it's just the area for improvement would be against the run, right? But, I mean, look, you bring him in, he could be a situational guy. You know, you bring him in on third downs, you let him just go get the passer, go kill the quarterback, and I think you're going to have some good things happen.
So with that, yeah, obviously that's the knock is the, you know, the run stopping, although apparently he got better last year, so there's at least a positive trend there. In your mind, then, when you compare him to a Reuben Bain, who obviously the arm length is a thing, and some people think he's going to have to maybe bulk up a little bit, be a three technique, whatever, but also a guy who wrecks games and seems maybe it seems like people look at him like the motor is running a little bit more consistently than Bailey. Like, do you see a gap in your mind with Bailey, then Bain, and a gap between them?
No, I don't see a gap, honestly. It's like that old Outkast song, right? Do you want a Benz or a Beamer? And I think it's you get a certain set of things in Bailey, and you get a certain set of things in Bain. Like, you know, you look at the way Gus Bradley described one of the DM positions, right? He talked about being, you know, on the outside, you know, on first and second down, and then able to bump inside if need be on third. That's Reuben Bain. You know what I mean? So you have different things. It just depends on what you want and what's available to you.
Well, TD, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. Like, when's the last time the Titans had an edge rusher that, like, legitimately terrified people, right? Like, it's been a while since they've had one. You know, Arakpo was really good, obviously. You know, depending on where they moved, Autry and, you know, Dupree and Landry, they had some good edge rushers. But, like, edge rushers that people were legitimately terrified of, like, you start to think about if they can land one of those guys, regardless of who it is, not only what that does for that person individually, but, I mean, think about the year Simmons just had. You know, like, what if there's an edge rushing threat to go with that on the outside? How big a deal could that be for Robert Saleh to land one of those guys?
No, that would be major, and you're right. I mean, there's no – they haven't had any of those DNs that, you know, Dennis Hopper would make that commercial about, right? I see bad things, man. Remember back in the day with Bruce Smith, you know, for the Nike sneakers?
Yeah.
You don't have one of those guys. But, I mean, to your point, Jeffrey Simmons had on the interior, and at times, you know, coming off the edge, he had an outstanding year. So you pair that, and then you got Cedric Gray behind it, you know, making all the tackles. And then on top of that, you got Kevin Winston Jr., you know what I mean, the young stunner coming in and playing one of the safety positions. You could have the makings of a really good defense if they could get the right players, and they got get that outside. You know, we talk about pass rush, but you got to address that cornerback position too.
What did you make of Gus Bradley's response when he was asked about Devondre Sweat?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very clear that there may be some I don't even know how to put it. It's very clear that you know, they want to give him a clean slate. I guess there's some lingering things that might be in the building, you know what I mean, and they want to give him a clean slate. I thought that maybe he could have, and again, this is nitpicking, white gloving it, but maybe he could have spoke more along the lines of how, as coaches, you've got to find a way to make the system adapt to the talent that you have. You know, that's kind of the direction I would have went, but hey, he's up there speaking, I'm not, and I mean, he's a head coach, former head coach and defensive coordinator, so you got to go with what he said.
Well, I mean, do we think that, I totally agree with that idea, but it just seems like Sweat, unless, and maybe he will transform his body, but that maybe he doesn't fit as well in this defense. I mean, is that too simplistic?
I mean, he could maybe not fit as well in the defense from a pass rushing perspective, but, you know, he's not an expensive contract. You got him there. Why not see if you could find something to work? I think he'll fit, you know, from a run stopping, you know what I mean, and be a guy right there in that 4-3 front, you know, when they're going against the run, first, second down, et cetera.
So, TD, you know, free agency is around the corner, and, you know, running back is going to be interesting to see what happens here. We were talking with Charles Robinson yesterday and the Kenneth Walker thing, and, you know, it's hard to imagine Seattle letting Kenneth Walker go, but, you know, one of the benefits, if you're the Titans, of having the amount of money that you've got is you can certainly outbid some of these teams if you want to. So how do you view running back in terms of what could be some pretty good options that are available to them if the Titans decide to go that route in free agency?
Yeah, I mean, you can outbid for some of these guys, but I think, you know, the transitional tag is something that the Seattle Seahawks will use on Kenneth Walker. I remember Zach Charbonnet is coming off a late injury at that, you know what I mean? So, yeah, there's value. So I would imagine they keep him, and then you look at like a Breece Hall, who I thought, you know, would be a solid pickup, and I don't know what's going to happen with him. He may get tagged as well or brought back. But to me, all of that, it brings me to Brian Robinson. And in my opinion, if you want to bring a guy in that fits the what, you know, Dable wants to do, and you want to bring a guy in that's cheaper than Tony Pollard, yeah, Brian Robinson to me should be the guy.
That is intriguing. I was going to ask you, Who do you think is more likely to be on this team next year, Tony Pollard or Tajay Spears?
Oh yeah, Tajay Spears is on the roster.
He'll be. He'll be the third down back, and then maybe they change up at Pollard, maybe not.
It's possible that Pollard could be gone, but I think it's what $7 million you save or something like that.
Yep.
So it all depends on like what they do free. Like if they go out and they sign an Alec Pierce or somebody, you know, a big high end free agent, then you could probably see Pollard being gone. You know, and then a lot of that's going to depend on Ridley too, who I personally think they need to keep around at least one more year.
Yeah, the Ridley part of this is going to be interesting. I mean, Dave will make sure to point out he's not making personnel decisions, but I mean there is a history there. But and you know, TD, when you start evaluating these options. Like I think a lot of Titans fans just assume that he's gone, but then you look at like who's actually going to make it in free agency in the NFL, and it could make a whole lot of sense just to keep him around and hope that he can stay healthy next year.
Yeah, no, facts. And even if they sign like a Wandell Robinson, I would still keep Ridley. And the thing is, right, you got the cap going up, you got 100+ million, you got not an abundance of people to sign as far as like options, high-end free agents. So – why not have that much money invested in the receiver position this year with Ridley and further helping Ward's development? And then, I mean, if you got to let him go, you let him go next year. Once you have another rookie receiver, you know, in the building and everything else, having a year under his belt.
TD, what do you think about Romeo Doubs? Because I think he's going to make it to free agency. Just the wide receiver situation in Green Bay. I just, from their standpoint, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to pay him. He's been really good in the red zone in his career. I mean, he's not necessarily a blazer out there or anything. But what do you make of the idea of Romeo Doubs?
Romeo Doubs is a consistent player, and he's someone – I really liked him at Nevada, him with Cole Turner and Carson Strong. I remember watching them and really enjoyed that. But, I mean, look, he's a consistent player. He's not a high-end receiver, but he's one of those guys that – you could 10 to 15 million a year is probably where you could put him in at. And I would say, 50 to 60 catches, 70 to 1,000 yards. I mean, that's not anything to scoff at, you know?
Well, I got to throw the Tua scenario at you I can tell by your reaction already. I got to say, when I first heard, like, what? And then I was like, well, okay. I mean, if you get a really good pick and your cap space can handle it, and now you have a better backup. Is there anything about this that appeals to you?
If they get a first round pick, I would consider it. But I mean, you got to think about that, right? It's going to take up almost a third of their available money to spend.
Yep, not for sure. I want no part of it. Let the record show.
Yeah, that probably cost you Pollard. It'll probably cost you Ridley. It'll probably cost you. It may even cost you Christian Berry, probably cost you Xavier Woods. Like you're trimming a lot of players for that first round pick. Now, hey, if that first round pick could be Mekhi Lemon, well, if they could even get that, because we know that probably won't happen. But that pick number 11, you turn that into Mekhi Lemon. Now you're cooking a little bit.
TD, I saw there's all
awesome.
These freaking mock drafts now, and I saw the Athletic one had Mekhi Lemon going to the Rams, and I'm just thinking about like Adams, Puka Nacua, and Mekhi Lemon all out there together at the same time. It's kind of terrifying.
17.
Yeah, it's just disgusting.
It would be, man.
Just awful. TD, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. We will talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, appreciate you. And if I could shout out Elite 3-7-on-7 team, man.
Yes.
I got to go out and talk to them last night. It was a great experience. Quentin Patton, former 49ers receiver. He's from right here, Laverne. I got to talk to him. I talked to him about discipline. And here's the thing. My guy Ian has me this morning just anti-discipline. Man, I got a half tray full of Girl Scout cookies and a cup of coffee right here. And the discipline is gone, man.
Dude, I bought a couple of those things from Ian, and I regret to tell you that both boxes are gone. It lasts about 3 days, man.
What kind, TD?
Oh, man, look, I got a mix. I got the tag-alongs. I got the coconut ones. I don't know
the Samoas.
What it says on the box. I got the some that are inspired by Rocky Road, and then I got a some type of caramel and chocolate, man. It's, woo.
I absolutely destroyed the Thin Mints. I'm not proud of it, hey, but I kind of am.
Listen, the inner old lineman in me, I take the Thin Mints and I crush them, and I sprinkle it over vanilla ice cream, oh, man. Thank me later.
Yes. That's elite.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, TD, pace yourself this weekend. We'll see how it goes.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Teron Davenport joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Fueled by Parman Energy, visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. We'll react to what TD had to say. We got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit GreenVenturesLandscaping.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate TD for being with us. In the last segment, we will have our first edition of the season of Weekend Winners coming up here in about 10 minutes, so looking forward to that. Some news on the Olympic hockey front. No Sidney Crosby today for Team Canada in the semifinals, so you have to have a captain in the tournament. So Crosby obviously was the captain for Canada. Now McDavid will be wearing the C. So plenty of options there. But no Crosby for Team Canada today as they take on Finland. If they win that game, hopefully it will be the United States and Canada coming up on Sunday. We'll see if Sid plays in that one.
What was the what was their three they had out there? They had McKinnon, McDavid. When they were doing 3-on-3, it was like McKinnon, McDavid,
And was it Celebrini with them?
Or McCarr?
No, McCarr. That's what it was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. McKinnon, McDavid, it's a little ridiculous. And Cale McCarr. Yeah. Sure. Oh, all right, guys. Mitch, see what you can do out there.
Yeah.
I might be the three fastest players in the league.
Yeah, it might be. Certainly the three, I think it is the three best skaters in the league. Like, just.
That's a pretty good, that's a pretty good trio.
I mean, Quinn Hughes is really good, like in terms of the edge work out there. But yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good stuff. So
I guess Larkin has won the speed contest before.
Yeah, Larkin's fast.
Put a little respect on the Red Wings.
America!
Name there, buddy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. So I believe they're playing at 9:40 this
Correct.
Morning. And then
yes.
USA and Slovakia at 2:10 coming up this afternoon. So
not Finland. I mean,
it's going to be interesting. It's going to require a big game from UC Soros.
Can he steal one and become the hero of the country of Finland?
We'll he's see. Bounced back better than I kind of thought.
Yes.
Saros has looked good.
He's done well. Now, I would say that what he's getting ready to be looking at today is very different than what he's looked at so far this tournament. So we'll see how that goes. But he's played well. So good for him. We'll see if that can continue today. What did you make of what TD had to say on the David Bailey front? I'm really interested here as people start diving through this. Like, by the time draft time comes around and you've gotten through the measurables at the combine and we have the inevitable Reuben Bain arms discussion next week that's going to dominate the NFL when the combine comes around, is there a gap between those two? Like, Reese seems to be, everybody's talking about the Micah Parsons comparison to him, and we'll see what happens. Like, Bailey and Bain, does there end up being a gap between those two? Or is it going to be like basically as TD just threw out there, like which style do you prefer? And there's not much of a gap in terms of the evaluation from the NFL teams.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. I do think that there's a gap in terms of I think some teams, because some teams just have hard and fast rules and some don't as much. But I think some teams will just have him down the board because he doesn't physically profile at the position where he dominated in college. So I think there will be a little bit of a gap. I'm looking again at Brugler's, top 100. I mean, his top 100, he has Bailey 6, and he has Bain 9. Not too much of a difference there. But look, it's certainly possible that there's also the other side of that, which is some teams just like, no, Reuben Bain is a great football player. Look at the film. And, again, all this stuff that's coming in the next few days is going to matter in that. It's like, no, he's just a better player. We're going to take him. I personally prefer Bailey.
Same.
He is a long striding, explosive speed rusher who I think could be a double digit sack guy for, years.
I can't wait to play one of your favorite games next week, and that is like how many people decide to run and or not run at the NFL Combine. It's become a thing over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to participate. We'll see you.
Yeah, and there's two. Some of them I totally get. Like if you're already going high and all you can do is hurt yourself, that totally makes sense. Too many people who need to run who are getting bad advice from their agents, to me.
Agree.
But maybe there's more common sense this year.
Maybe so. Let's head back to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Number one, dude, I could totally see Soros winning that game. But I don't think the national people are acting like he's a household name now. I don't know that he is, because they said his name was like you say or something. Like, they messed his name up when they were saying it, but they were like, yeah, he's a household name, so he could absolutely still win. Here's the problem I have with Soros, dude. He can make it to the gold medal match and then come home and lose to the Sharks. Like, he's the most inconsistent guy. And I don't know what it is about him, but I'm pulling for. I don't want Canada, man. I want Canada to get upset. So for you to say I want the U.S. and Canada, no. I would love to see us against Soros in the end. I think it'd be cool.
Thank you for the call, Adam. I mean, look, again,
the Soros factor is interesting, I guess.
Soros factor is interesting. I will take gold for USA no matter how they get it. That is kind of my approach. But really, deep down, I want USA and Canada. Like, yeah. I think it would just be awesome.
Yeah, it's just,
and it may not end well for the USA if it goes that way. But
it
I want
not.
It.
But if you win that game, yeah, gold medal is a gold medal. But if you get it by beating that collection of talent, that to me is,
it's a big moment.
It's just bigger.
Yeah,
it's you just don't have too many opportunities to watch games, because all-star games are all bunk, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why this stuff is so cool, because these are all-star games with gigantic stakes. Everybody playing for their country. And I'm sorry, but I'm rooting for Canada and the United States.
Well, it's not the same comparison, because I still think from an overall talent standpoint, like, go back, you remember the USA-France final in the gold medal game a couple years ago? It's awesome, right? Like, just watching those guys who, I mean, it wasn't like an NBA All-Star game, because they cared. Like, they cared to be out there. They were actually spilling their guts playing, like Steph Curry with some huge shots down the stretch. That's what it is. Like, it's Connor McDavid playing at his absolute max capacity. Right. It's Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Tkachuk just steamrolling people out there. It's awesome. Like, that's what I want on Sunday.
Yeah. 7 a.m.
I'll wake up.
Let's go.
Yep.
That's sleeping. I'm about sleeping say, in for us.
That's
great.
Nothing.
We're good.
Yeah.
7 a.m. ain't nothing.
Yeah. Sleepers out there, you know.
I've seen some people on the East Coast complaining about it. They're like, I can't believe the game's going to be at 8 on Sunday morning. It's like, can you not wake up by 8 o'clock? Yeah. You can't do that?
Seriously. What about, like, hockey fans in California and their 5 a.m. wake-up call?
That's who I have more sympathy for.
Exactly.
And you are talking to the same person that woke up one time to watch a Federer versus Nadal Australian Open final at like 3 a.m. So I'm kind of a lunatic.
That's pretty good.
It's tennis that I woke up for.
That's impressive. That's impressive. I mean, as I've said many times, when I lived in Saudi Arabia, I had to do a whole bunch of 2 a.m., 3 a.m. waking up to watch, you know, my Tigers in the World Series, the Super Bowl, et cetera. But that's – you've doing that for tennis is – that's strong.
Well, what'd you make of the Tigers alternate jerseys, by the way? I didn't get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, thanks for tweeting that. I will say – I mean, it's all stupid. I will say that if they're going to have that, I kind of don't hate the orange one.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I didn't hate the orange one. Yeah. You involved the old English D. That's fine. So I don't hate that. But, yeah, overall, it's like they're playing a game at home and they're not wearing – some of the greatest uniforms ever. It's just embarrassing.
Rex Road slowly opening his heart to alternate jerseys all throughout sports. Before you know it, he'll be wearing like a dark mode Tennessee football jersey in studio.
There you go. Or the smoky grays.
Yeah.
Yeah. At some point, you just have to throw up your hands.
We'll have weekend winners coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is time for the first edition of the season of Weekend Winners. One last victory lap for me as Pigskin Pick'em champion. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well done. Thank you. You crushed us.
Weekend Winners, obviously no football going on, so everything else is on the table. So, Joe, let's begin with a big one coming up this weekend. Tennessee taking on Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is a 3.5-point favorite at home in this matchup. I am up first in this one. You'll be stunned to know I'm going with Tennessee. Tennessee, I think, just thinks playing better right now. I'll go Tennessee. I think Ahmed's playing well. I'll go Tennessee to cover and to win. I think they get the win on the road this weekend at Memorial. Joe Rexroad, who we got?
Yeah, I'll go Vanderbilt. I don't love 3.5 because I could see this being like a 79-77 kind of game. But yeah, you know, I think free throws down the stretch, and Vanderbilt will win by about 6. And yeah, this is not knowing the situation with Duke Miles.
Yep.
They're just such a different team at home. I think the intensity is going to be there. And you know, I think they do have bodies to throw at Ament. You know, Tennessee, Estrella's a little bit banged up again. That foot is hurting him. So I think teams with a lot of bigs can be problematic for Vandy. I think this matchup is fine, and I think these teams are probably going to split this year.
Ian, who we got? Vanderbilt, a 3.5-point favorite tomorrow against Tennessee.
Yeah, it should be a fun environment, huh?
It's always
fun in there.
Yes.
With all the Tennessee fans, and
yep.
Vandy fans will be there too, so it will be fun. So I am, you know, the home court advantage may be diminished a little bit in this, considering most college basketball, you know, if it was just compared to a normal game. So I'm going to take the Vols to cover.
Going with Tennessee plus the 3.5.
That is an interesting point. Yeah. I'm interested to see, because I've definitely seen it in there when it's been like I remember the Grant Williams game in 19. It was like 50-50.
Yep.
Recent years, it's been, you know, it's been a home court advantage. Are Vols fans a little bit like out and not as many in there tomorrow? I don't know.
Probably.
That'll be interesting. Yeah.
It will be very interesting to see what that looks like. But I imagine the Vanderbilt contingent, whether it's 80%, 75%, whatever that total ends up looking like, pretty boisterous in there tomorrow.
You would think, yes.
You would think so. Another big college basketball matchup this weekend, Michigan and Duke, a non-conference game in late February.
In D.C., Washington, D.C.
Yeah, neutral site. Michigan, a 2.5-point favorite in this one. Joe Rexroad, you were up first. Who we got?
Yeah, Michigan all the way. It's almost my lock. Duke's really good. And, you know, Duke's a contender. But you know, anybody who watched Michigan at Purdue the other night, and they hit 13 threes. They're not going to do that every game. When they do that, they are absolutely unbeatable. But overall, man, they're the best team. And they are, to me, the favorite to win it all. And I think they're going to beat Duke by about 8 to 10 points.
Ian Safar, who we got? Michigan, a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup.
Full disclosure, I haven't watched either of these teams yet. Every time I look at Michigan's scores, very impressive. You know,
they're killing people.
Yeah. On the road, handling good teams. I'm surprised it's only 2.5, considering it's a neutral site. If it was at Duke, I think I would maybe understand the 2.5. But being a neutral site in 2.5, I'm going to lean Duke plus the 2.5. You get the extra half a point there. Maybe it's a 2-point bucket.
Give me Duke to cover and win outright.
Ooh,
okay. Cameron Boozer, 29 points tomorrow night. 29 for Cameron Boozer. You heard it here first.
That is
29 and 10.
If he does that against Yaxel Lindeborg, that's a great matchup, man. Those are guys are both going the first round. Yaxel Lindeborg and Cameron Boozer is an elite matchup. If he does that, and people need to start talking about him as the number one pick a little bit more.
He will rise to the occasion. Give me Duke plus the 2.5 against Michigan. We're going to take a leap here, okay? And we will pivot on this if we need to.
Yep.
But we're going to make an assumption that it's the USA and Canada coming up to the gold medal game. And really, that's frankly because I want it to be so badly, and we're going to make that assumption. If it changes, we'll update the listeners on Monday as to what we did. USA, Canada, straight up. Ian Safar, who we got?
Unfortunately, I'm going Canada.
Jeez.
Traitor. Traitorous. Yeah. Treasonous.
Hey, at least I didn't make it my lock.
USA lock.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know how much I believe it, but I'm going to believe it with all my heart come Sunday morning at 7 a.m. USA lock. They will stifle Team Canada in the gold medal game. Don't let it get to 3-on-3 overtime because I don't like the McDavid-McCarr-McKinnon matchup against anybody. Do it in regulation. USA locking down in the gold medal game. Rexroad, who we got?
So, by the way, real quick, so in the gold medal game, Will they go to shootout, or they're just doing three on three forever?
Three on three.
But no shootout.
No shootout. But no shootout.
20 minutes, three on three.
Imagine 20 minutes of three on
and
three.
And we'll extend another period.
Imagine a double overtime of three on three.
It will say three on three, but no
shootout. Is it possible
to
get to the end of a 20-minute period of three on three overtime?
With those teams?
With those teams.
Yeah.
Nobody's going
to
score?
It's hard to imagine. Yeah. Well, listen, sometimes I like to go against my heart in this stuff, and here I am. And I can't lose to Robbie this year in this episode. So give me Canada. I'll take Canada. If the USA wins, I'll happily lose. If not, the consolation will be, hey, got a leg up on Robbie.
I don't think the 2 years are going to be allowed to celebrate. You know what? I don't think 2 years should be allowed to enjoy this on Sunday.
Hey, I mean,
good grief.
Fans sometimes bet against their teams, man.
Some people use that as a strategy.
It's a hedge. Yeah.
I do think I picked in Pigskin Pick'em heavily with Alabama this year. I was like, yeah, Alabama's going to smoke Tennessee. So
that's true. There you go.
Did do that, yeah.
The individual portion of the program, I'll go first. Give me Indiana plus 10.5 coming up against Purdue. I don't think they're going to win, but I do think they'll cover the 10.5 point spread. So I'll go Indiana plus 10.5. Rex Road, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I like that one. Almost did that one too. VCU at St. Louis. St. Louis, stunning loss this week. Rhode Island coming home against VCU minus 7.5. I just think the Billikens are going to be upset. Looking to make a little statement, give me St. Louis minus 7.5.
St. Louis minus the 7.5. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, I'm going opposite of you, Robbie. I'm taking Purdue.
Okay.
To cover the 10.5. Coming off the loss versus Michigan, they're at home. I think the 10.5 seems like a pretty high number to me against a decent team. So I think they'll cover.
Going with Purdue.
Those numbers, you know, I try to go opposite. When I'm like, hey, that number seems high, I go them to cover.
Why is it high?
Yeah.
Right.
There we go. I like that. Ian Safar, your second individual selection.
Okay. We're back, baby. Nashville SC.
We're back.
Guarantee.
Give us a season opening MLS win against New England this weekend at home.
There we go.
I was terrible with my locks and terrible with Nashville SC last year. We're getting off the schneid early.
Yeah, Ian feels like he's due. It did not go well for him on the Nashville SC front last year. When he picked them to draw, they would win. When he picked them to win, they would draw. It was kind of funny.
We'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes.
We're just going to get kicked off. Forget wasting any time. First game. Bring it on.
Rex Road, your second individual selection.
All right. Big 12, Arizona at Houston. It's an amazing two game. You know, Duke, Michigan, and then Arizona-Houston tomorrow. It really is. That's Final Four quality. Houston minus 5.5, and Arizona does not have Coa Pete. Give me Houston to make that my lock.
Guarantee.
Going Houston minus 5.5, locking down against Arizona, and a big one coming up tomorrow on the college basketball front. Give me my beloved Miami Heat minus 3.5 against the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Spo's going to have them coached up and ready to go. I'll go Heat minus 3.5. Against the Hawks. I figured somebody should take at least one NBA game.
There you go.
So I volunteered to do it.
Good job.
My final individual selection. USA and Slovakia coming up today in the semifinal matchup. The over-under goal total is 5.5. Give me over, and I think it's on the USA front. I think USA wins 5-1 today. So I'll go over right at 6. Cha-ching. Take me to the over 5.5 for USA and Slovakia today. Rex Road, your final individual selection.
Let's stay in the Big 12. And Iowa State at BYU. It's been some terrible injury news in the Big 12. Richie Saunders at BYU, now JT Toppin at Texas Tech, brutal. You know, BYU at home, tough place to play. Iowa State, totally different team, home and road. But BYU getting 3.5. I'm going to take the Cyclones and give those points. I think they're going to get it done on the road.
Going with Iowa State against BYU. Ian, your final individual selection.
Okay, I'm trying to go NBA here. It's Saturday night, Rockets-Knicks. Knicks coming off the loss to your Pistons last night.
Got their ass beat again.
Talked
a lot of trash, got their ass
beat. I don't
beat.
See a line yet. So I'm going to take the Rockets against the Knicks, regardless of the line. So whenever that comes out, give me the Rockets to cover whatever it is against the Knicks Saturday night.
Okay, I like that. Do we think Joe is completely switched back to the Pistons now, or is he like half in on the Pistons, half in on the Warriors?
I mean, basically, like if the Warriors were good and they played in the finals, I would root for the Warriors.
Okay.
I mean, the Pistons, my bad boys Pistons will never. I mean, they're above anybody. But sure. I'm finding myself watching the Pistons a lot. I mean, they are.
Did you enjoy
a wagon?
Did you enjoy and root for the Chauncey Billups?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Rasheed Wallace.
Them. Okay. Oh, absolutely loved them. Yeah, yeah. It was all the stuff with the Warriors happened after that, and again, it's kind of like kid driven, but no, I love those teams. Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton. All yeah. I mean, they're not my bad boys, but oh, we were yes. It was a magical time. It's been a long time.
It has been. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final segment of the day coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away to see Sal Volcano at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Sunday, April the 12th. To caller number two, 615-737-1025. Caller two will win a pair of tickets to see Sal Volcano at the Ryman Auditorium on Sunday, April the 12th. Joe, one thing we brought up briefly earlier, Kim Caldwell and the Lady Vols lost 82-74 last night. That is now three losses in a row for them. They've lost six out of their last eight. And by the way, to close out the season, they've got number 11 Oklahoma, number 7 LSU, and Vanderbilt to close things out. So they may not win any of those games, which means they would head into the postseason with the six consecutive losses, and at that point they would have lost 9 of 11. Now, maybe they do win one or two of those games. We'll see what happens. But it is not trending very positively for Kim Caldwell and Tennessee on the Lady Vols front in year number two right now.
No. Now, I've seen some Tennessee fans speculating, like, missing the tournament. I mean, it's not going to happen. Like, even as of today – friend of the show, just because we like to mention him, Charlie Cream, has Tennessee as a sixth seed, and this is today. This is after it wasn't long ago they were right there for hosting. They're not going to host now.
No.
So, which is a disappointment all on its own for Tennessee, but they're going to be, and they could lose the first game of the SEC tournament, and they're probably, maybe they're an 8-9 type thing. They're going to be in the tournament. Tell you what. At the end of the year, the one time they play Vanderbilt this year, like if Vanderbilt comes into that place and kicks Tennessee's butt, I think it's already getting uncomfortable. And again, it's only year two, but it's just alarming some of the things. There's clearly a disconnect between her and some of her players, and they're not responding. You can't lose to a 10-11 Texas A&M team at home. So, some people are taking it to like, whatever, not make the tournament, get fired, all that stuff. None of those things aren't happening. But it makes for a gigantic off season for her.
Yep.
And that's the thing about college sports now is, I mean, the one thing that's good when you're a coach of this situation is, again, in the old days, it's like, sure hope some of those recruits are good and some of these players get a lot better. You can go out now and you can change your team dramatically, and it's going to be critical for her to figure some things out. I think the style that she plays,
yeah.
I think she's figuring out that when you get to a certain level, that's why like you never see it like in the NBA, right? You get to a certain level, and more teams can carve that up.
Yep, and that may require some adjusting on her part moving forward here, so we'll see what happens on that front. Joe, it's been a difficult show today. Obviously, we opened up basically the first hour talking about the passing of Wes Rucker yesterday, passing away at the age of 43. In a car accident yesterday, and every time I log on to the text line, log on to social media, there's just more tributes from Wes Rucker rolling in. Just a tough day. It was, we didn't know exactly how this was going to go this morning and whether or not the actual reporting of it would be out there by the time we got on the air. It was, so we addressed it all throughout the first hour. And again, thank you to everybody that's reached out to us today. We appreciate it. And, one of the things I said earlier, Joe, was like, I did not know Wes personally as you did. We did have him on our show several times. But if you're somebody like me who has followed Tennessee athletics my entire life, he's been around for almost all of it, right? Like he's been covering Tennessee for almost all of it. So you know, in some ways, even though I didn't know him, it kind of felt like I did because I read him all the time, followed along with him on social media, interacted with him on social media, and then obviously eventually had him on our radio show. So it was just a really, really tough day for Tennessee athletics, Tennessee fans, and obviously most importantly, Wes Rucker's family, just really thinking about them this morning.
Yeah, it's gutting, and you start with his family. I mean, his wife Lauren is an amazing person, and like they are truly one of the best couples I've ever been around. And so little Hank and he's been through so much, and Wes has shared that with people, and she has a daughter on the way in May. It's utterly unthinkable and gutting and heartbreaking, and you think of them first. And I appreciate all of you who have reached out asking about a GoFundMe. I'm sure, you know, something like that will happen. We will share all that information. And then you take it to, you know, you take it to the sports conversation. There's just a huge hole. Following Tennessee sports is going to be worse moving forward. There's just a huge hole. And I just, to me, if you're a Tennessee fan who didn't seek out what his take was on anything in the last two decades, and I don't know what you were doing following the Vols. I mean, it was appointment reading, and so just on a variety of fronts, he's just going to be missed terribly.
Yep, and again, just an awful situation. You know, when the Vol Twitter, it's a very massive fan base. They do a good job of taking care of people and stuff like this. And like you said, I'm sure that there's
no doubt
you know, something that's going to be set up. When that happens, we will pass that information along. But just a really tough situation, and I could speak for all of us. Our prayers are with Wes's family here. Just an awful situation.
And real quick, I can't think of days much worse than this. But Jaden Bailey, passing away, Lebanon High School, incredibly inspiring story.
Yeah.
What he did, what he went through, amputating his arm and playing basketball. And prayers to him and his family too.
Yeah, absolutely, no doubt about it. That does it for us today on the show. We will be back on Monday morning at 6 a.m. Next Man Up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.